thought tonight that I would come here and we'd make mention of a few little things as concerning the book of Revelation, as to explain maybe a few things that we had talked about to some of the brethren, add a few things and reaffirm a few things as to refresh their minds on them. And I try to give a little milk as well as the meat. The meat is for the strong. They are by reasoning, exercise their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. But it is a fact that I long so much to expound those things as of the Spirit, those deep secrets and mysteries. Paul said, I'm made a steward of the mysteries of God, and the Lord has in my soul poured out thousands upon thousands of mysteries, with no exaggeration. And those that have talked with us in conversation are fully, fully persuaded that that's true. And he is an inexhaustible supply of knowing all things. And he said, all that my Father's made known unto me, I've made known unto you. And ye have an unction from the Holy One that ye should know all things. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And I accepted from the beginning, as God began to deal with me, that I knowed all things in Christ. I accepted that and I believed that. And he hath never failed to supply it to the fullest extent. That no matter where I talk, no matter what I say, any time, hearts, or condition, he talks continually. And I've tried to tell the brethren that they have to understand that it is him that's talking, because if there's the least little interference as to human spirits, or they give way to fallen angels as to demon spirits, then it is cut off and I don't know a thing. And I can't say a thing, and I just stand there looking at you because I don't know what to say, because it's not me saying it. But any time that people are reverent, even 9-12 hours in a row, all night long, and they're reverent and they sit there with open heart, the Lord never ceases to talk continually. And in a continuation of nothing but mysteries, unveiled mysteries, continually. And there's no possible way, no human way, that any man in the world can do that. I can't do it. Nobody else can do it. It has to be God. And he is interested in you, because the mysteries must be finished, must be made known to you. And to them that will receive them, to them that can understand them, they have to be made known. And when I say the end of the world, the average person don't know what I'm talking about. Even the average Bethlehemite don't know what I'm talking about after all we've taught. See, but the end of the world is not what you think it is. It doesn't come like you think it is. It has nothing to do with your thoughts at all as to the way people define the end of the world. Not anything at all. It's altogether different. It is a mystery as to the way the world was created and come about, and the way the world exists, and the end of the world, and the way it will dissipate, and the way it will go. So it has nothing at all to do with what you think of. All that you're thinking of is as to what the world calls lying vanities. You are observing vanities. Many times the scripture has been said as to some of you, he that observe lying vanities forsaketh his own mercy. And since you look with natural eyes, you have eyes and see not. You hear with natural ears, you have ears and you hear not. As to what the Spirit says, as to the secrets, as to the mysteries, and even Jesus preaching, when the apostles ask him, why do you speak to those people parabolically or in parables, as with a parable or without a parable, the Bible said, spake he not unto the people. He said, it is not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to you it is given. So then they do not know. And the Bible said, this is higher above their heads as to the knowledge of God than the heavens is the earth. And that with all of their learning, they will never understand it. And a wayfaring fool may err into anything as he stumbles and staggers, but he'll never even stumble across this path. And it is something that is secluded, that's given only to the mind of Christ, and these are the things of Christ, and they will come to no man's mind nor spirit. They'll only come to the Christ Spirit. And if the Spirit of Christ is in you, they'll come to you, and if not, then you're none of His, because you have not His Spirit, and you're only His through His Spirit. God having sent His Spirit into our heart, crying, "Our Father." But it's sad because it is so rich, it is so wonderful, it's heavenly treasure in earthen vessels. And I know when we think as to vanities, we think of gold, silver, diamonds, pearls, but I say to you again, the treasure is the mind of Christ that created the diamonds and the pearls and the gold and silver. Gold and silver and diamond and pearls and money and all of the things of the world is nothing but something for children to play with. And the mind that I'm speaking of is what created those things, as to the great mind of God over matter, not as to scientists, which is Satan's mind, supposedly, falsely so called. So, as I said to somebody today, it bothers me to see the great potentiality of mankind that God has invested in man, giving him his great ability to become gods. To as many as believe, gave He power to become the sons of God, even to as many as believe on His name. That is, they have the ability to become a God, to live forever, to be exceedingly rich, strong, young, powerful, with all riches, all understanding. And I see them a lot of times as men and women, and I made the statement even to Chuck today. I said, it troubles me because I see these people becoming junkies. You know, among the hippies, they got people they call junkies. They have been known to shoot peanut butter into their veins or mayonnaise in their vein or anything that they can get. So they call them junkies. And in the world, I see the people as a bunch of junkies. You know, they're after the wealth of the world, the fame of the world. They're after passions. They're after worldly knowledge and prestige and all of this, which makes them a junkie. All they do is gather the garbage and the junk, because all of that's going to crumble, all of that's going to be burned. The junk man will take it off to the dump to burn it. The bombs will fall in everything that you trust in and believe in, and whatever, even to your body and your mind, as to being a natural person and not change to the spiritual side of life, makes you a junkie. But as to them that have the mind of Christ, that can see beyond the veil, these are going to be great, mighty, powerful, eternal, everlasting gods with all power and knowledge and wisdom and youth and life, that be so radiant they shall outshine the brightness of the noonday sun. And while the other is hauled off to the garbage, as to the dump to be burned, whether it's the soul of mankind or as to the worm, which is the body that's cast into the fire. The Bible said where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not, whether it's that or whether it's their possessions, it's nothing but just feebleness. And God is asking in the beginning, will you trade this life of vanity that's fading, that's nothing, that will fade away? Will you trade it for this eternal life of reality? For he that seeketh to save his life in this world, Jesus said, he shall lose it. Because it's nothing but a temporal thing of lying vanities, and heaven and earth will pass away, and all that be carnal minded shall die with it, pass away with it. He that seeketh to save his life in this world shall lose it, but he that loseth his life for my sake has to trade it for that life, has to take my life in mine and let me live in you, that I may minister life to them that are without, shall gain his life and all of the wealth, and that unto eternal life. No man, having left mother, father, wife, or children, land or houses, or any of these things, but what in this present world, I will give you that back and give you more. In this present world, you receive children and wives and houses and land and riches and all these things. And then in the world to come, everlasting life. So, when we fail to understand and we fail to look at it right, then we are the loser. We sow to corruption, we reap corruption. Or are we sow to the flesh, the Bible said, and we reap that which deteriorates as to that which will soon corrupt. And if we sow to the Spirit, we reap eternal wages as to treasures eternal and eternal life and will never perish. But that's up to the people. Like I said, this war's over there because the generation just will not listen to the preachers. The generation, even the religious people, say that they're going to serve God, and all it is just a hypocritical religious churchianity sort of a thing. And they're trying to mix darkness as to intellectual reasoning with light as to religious understanding. And it won't do that. Gross darkness as to intellectual ignorance has to cover the people. So this adulterous generation is beginning to reap. And that's why men like Hugh Singh can stand up and say, I'll make them go through the furnace of fire. Because it's not hand. We could have, had we had the time tonight and everything would have been just right for it, we could have went into even numbers of things tonight that would have been very enlightening as to the situation, as to the present situation, and as to some future things. And it would have been helpful. Whereas, if I took all night long and talked to you tonight, as Paul ministered to them all night long, when we finished in the morning, we would have many thousands of things to say to you concerning the mysteries of Christ, if we diligently talked about the mysteries all night long. Though you would leave, if you could conceive of it, you'd leave with many mighty things. Yet still, as I say, great is the mystery. Well, anyway, coming here tonight, I want to read a scripture anyway before we dismiss. Coming here tonight is always a blessing to me. It's always a blessing. And having an opportunity to talk with you, it's always a blessing. Went through some things the other day with a brother as to expounding things that his heart cried for till he broke into tears. And we went through some things a few days ago with some brethren that in their enthusiasm as to utter amazement as what God has for us, declared that it was nowhere else in the world. As over the radio when the letters came, said, and the mighty ministry that we heard, and letters that are unreal as to the praise of Christ, the glory be to God. And as to one brother that made the statement today, or yesterday it was, he said, I have in my possession as to perhaps one of the greatest prophets that's ever been in our times. And he said, I have stacks of his books, and I have boxes of his records, or his tapes, that I've been through again and again, the way he expressed it. And so I have never found anything like this. So it is true that as even it was said to me the other day, that even one of the greatest men of God that supposedly loosed the seals, as to the six seals down to the sixth chapter, and said that in the seventh seal he could not see into it, nor into the thunders. It's very obvious that this very clearly opens the seventh seal, and those things as pertaining to the thunders and to what was to happen as beyond that, because it deals explicitly with that in the 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, and on through to 22 as to the last chapter of the book of Revelation, as well as from the first over to the 8th chapter as to the 6 seals. And as I said, I wanted to just kind of say a few things to highlight things, because we're getting it now, not because we merit it or because we are special people. As Daniel said when that came to him, he said, this is not given to me because I'm different from anybody else, nor as to a special person, nor as to his righteousness, but as to the benefit of the people at this time because of the judgments. And so it is, it's given to us at this time, not as to a specialty of anybody, but as to bring about the tranquility of God in our lives and hearts to the change, as to the translation, because we're going to have it to be translated. And somebody said, well, I don't see where there's anything different or anything more glorious about this than anything else. Well, I understand that. You don't see it because you don't see it, period. It's not that you don't see anything into this, you just don't see into this, period. That's why you don't see the glory of it. The Bible teaches that you'll not see when good comes, that the eyes are blinded. Your intellectual reason have kept you out of it. But if there isn't something else from for the church that God had coming, why is it that the body has not been changed? Why hasn't it gone out? Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that you could get these things and still be here? You can get these things and go into glory and come back, like Jesus did when he was caught up on the mountain, when he returned and was crucified after having been in glory, like Paul when he went up to the third heaven, like John when he was caught up into heaven, and on and on and on, like Moses or like Elijah that at least was preserved until our day. So then, in this is the great mystery of God. In this is the great mystery. What then is said here in the 11th, the 10th chapters, I've read numbers of times, not trying to get into anything tonight, but just as a reminder. In Revelation 8, as we brought out the other night, about the four winds being loosed, all of a sudden the 30-minute silence in heaven, the seven angels, the trumpets, and down to Revelation 10 and 7. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hands to heaven and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound the mysteries of God, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. That's Revelation 10 and 7 as to, but in the days of the voice. When he sounds, the six has already sounded. The last three was three woes. That means there's only one woe left after this, as to what he is speaking of in 10 and 7 is the last woe, as to the sounding of the last trumpet, which was the seventh trumpet, the last of the seven, as to Revelation 8, when the seventh seal was opened. And it is a woe. In Revelation 11, 14, after Revelation 10 and 7, it says, the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly after. That it is told about the prophets prophesying and the great earthquake that strikes Jerusalem, and the prophets being killed as to the two witnesses and being caught up into heaven. Then all of a sudden it says the second war is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And then in the 15th verse, the woe comes. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying. Now, 10 and 7, he will sound. When will he sound? In 11:15 it says he sounded. The time perspective is the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. When he sounds, what was it that he was to bring about? He was to bring about the end of the world, because in Revelation 10 and 5 and 6, the angels are standing on the sea and on the earth, swear by him that liveth forever and ever, that time is no longer. And that's just before the seventh angel sounds. So when the seventh angel sounds, the mystery is thus finished, because he said, now the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And then I say again that when I read that, unless you are spiritual, as Paul said, I'd love to speak unto you as in spirituals, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Seeing that you're babes in Christ, he said, I can't. It is said the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And it says, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry. I don't think anybody could deny the fact that the nations are altogether angry. And thy wrath is come in the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. And it goes on to say in the 12th chapter that Lucifer, the dragon, was cast out, war in heaven, and then it goes on to say in the 13th chapter that the beast come up out of the waters. All that is to say, right now, there could be much said about Israel, because Israel has to do with a perspective of heaven, and the war is starting over there, but we can't get into it. But I would like to say this one thing. Inasmuch as in the seventh chapter, and after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor any tree. Immediately, it says in the eighth chapter, as I said the other night, it has to do with the loosening of the four winds, because they were only held back until the 144,000 was sealed, which means God's getting ready to seal the Jews now, because the judgment's coming in. It's to the 144,000. And so then it's to the 8th chapter. It's evident that after in the 7th chapter the 144,000 was sealed, that in the 8th chapter when the 7th seal is open, that those four winds were loose, because it says in the 7th verse, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Now, could the winds not have been loosed, in that it was said that you can't hurt anything so far as the trees or whatever in the earth? And all of a sudden, just following that, as to the seventh seal, it says, and the trees were hurt. So it's evident that the sealing of the 144,000, which it speaks of in the seventh chapter, took care of that, and then the winds were loose. And I just said that just to comment just a little bit as to those four winds and let you go. The four winds make us to know one thing. In the book of Daniel, it says that the four winds were wrestling over the waters, and John gives waters his people. And it was said to Daniel, seal up the vision. It's for a time appointed, or for the end time. John coming in the end time, he sees these four winds again. And it is said, seal not the vision, for the time is at hand. The revelation of Jesus Christ, the first chapter. All right, now, that means that the vision was one and the same as to sealed in Daniel's day, as to revealed in John's day. So then, why do I say this? As to bring about just a thought. And that is, when we see as to the king of the north, as Joel spoke of, we think of the bad Russians. All they talk about the Arabs or whatever. See, but that isn't the way it is. It said there was four winds wrestling over the waters. And I remind you one more time that this is only the beginning of the end. And that is to say that from all four corners of the earth, as to the northern corner and the eastern corner and the western corner and the southern corner, from all four corners will come a great leader and a great band of people, as to those that will fight over the people, as supposedly the waters to get control and set up their kingdom to rule the world. That will be, as I said before, the best way to remember them is by the letter C. I say, as to the northern kingdom, communism. As to the western kingdom, we say northern kingdom, communism, Russia. As to the western kingdom here, which we call America, it's called capitalism. And to the southern kingdom, as to the stronghold of Catholicism, it is called Catholicism. And as to the eastern world, it is called Christianism. They were first called Christians in Antioch. So then salvation is of the Jews, because there's no such thing as a natural Jew. God will save them as Christians like all the other. And in that day set up his kingdom by coming, gathering together the Christians, bringing the Christians back with him and gathering them together as to conversion of Christianity through the acceptation of the Messiah, just like you accepted him. See, and that is the four seas, as the four powers which are referred to as winds. We say winds of doctrine as to Marxism or Catholicism or whatever it might be. And these things as to control of your mind, this is the four that's wrestling, just like this four beasts around the throne. It has to do with those things as to a type. And that means that this thing is just the beginning of what's going to take place. All right, let's stand together. Appreciate your attention, the chance to be here. Appreciate your blessings on our trip. If nothing happens, tonight's Wednesday. We'll probably get to be with you Friday and Sunday morning. And then, of course, Sunday evening, we'll be leaving to go to New York to catch out to Tel Aviv. And Tel Aviv, as to the airport, is supposedly the destination of the missile, as far as I know. But nevertheless, we'll be there if the Lord's will. Unless he should stop us, we'll be there. And we need your prayers and we need your faith. And going over there is by my choice. And I'd rather my wife would have stayed here. But when David said, hadn't we better leave mother here? I said, well, just try. And he got in the house before I did, and he said something about her staying here. She said, you just try. So I had it all figured out before I got there. But anyway, my wife is a very courageous woman, and like I said, we have been close to the end of the trail a lot of times in our lives. And I've never seen her afraid, never seen her quibble about it. Problems, hard ways to go, danger, whatever. She's always confident that God will be there, and he's always been there. And like the Hebrew children said, if you go into the fire furnace, he's able to deliver. And if you don't deliver, we'll still praise him anyway and go his way. Paul said to die is gain, to live is Christ. If we're going to live, it's going to be Christ and his life as to the best of our ability. If we die, then we got a treasure. And besides that, it's like I said today, not being brave at all. But I would consider it a great honor to die for Christ. That to me would be so wonderful and outstanding. Someone would say, well, I don't want to die. Well, we'll let you in on something. You're going to die anyway. So whether you die for Christ or not, you'll die if it's just from eating or whatever, just waiting around. You'll die and they'll put you in a box unless Jesus happens to come back for the change. And then you'll have to be ready or you're still, you know, to go the way of all the earth. So I would consider it a great, wonderful thing myself. And I'm sure that some of you would feel the same way that I would feel about it. And as today, if you died today, you wouldn't want to do that. You say, well, I just rather wait a while. But if you wait a while and then there comes a day and you die that day, you're still going to want to wait a while. You're going to be just as much not wanting to go that day as you are not wanting to go this day, because it's going to be another day just like this day. And you're not going to get tired of living. So what difference does it make? The thing that's important is not that. The thing that is important is whether or not you've done anything for God or you're going to do anything for God, as to what you've done for God and whether or not you're ready to meet the Lord. That's the thing that's important. Because Christians do not die. I don't say that as a consolation to you, and yet I do say it as a consolation that you might believe that, but not in as a consolation to try to console myself, to make myself believe something that I'm wondering about. But in as much as I believe that, in as much as I know that, in as much as I've proven that, then Christians don't die. They do go to sleep. And if someone would say, well, it's the same difference. No, it's not the same difference. Not the same difference at all. If I told you that you was going to walk out that door right there, and when those doors was closed, you was going to be on the outside, and you was going to be torn to bits by some lion or wild animal, that would be one thing. And then if I told someone else, you're going to step out the door right there, and nothing is going to hurt you, that's something altogether different. Altogether different, and both of them has passed beyond the veil as to the door. See, so it is a true fact that death has to do with your spirit separated from the Spirit of God, which it can never be. When you are born again, the Spirit of Christ goes into your spirit. It's not possible ever for your spirit to be separated from life, which is Christ, or to be tormented. Never. You don't have to wait on no judgment. Judgment's in the house of the Lord. Whosoever sins we remit, they're remitted. Whosoever sins we retain, they're retained. As my Father sent me, so send I you, Jesus said. So then, when you do not have the Spirit of God, you're none of His. There's no such thing as you having as good a chance at the judgment as anybody else. All that's ruled out, that's foolishness. There is no such thing. You get salvation in this world, and Christ's Spirit comes into your heart, and you're then eternal. If it doesn't come into your heart, that means your spirit has not made contact with the great eternal spirit. You've only been under the blood as to the grace, and the rain has been upon the unjust as to feeling His presence. You might have been religious and done all the things that religious people do, but that doesn't mean anything. When you pass off the scene, your spirit goes into hell. So that means that wherever you're going, that's where you are. And wherever you are, that's where you've always been. As to elect, a foreordination before the world ever was, because the gifts and callings of God is not through repentance. Esau sought repentance with bitter tears and found no place of repentance. The birthright was gone. Pray and cry and to fast and beg will not get you anything. So then, as Paul preached to the elect, as having preached to the elect, then the elect received it. The ones that was not elect would not hear it. Now, I know you've been standing, but I've been standing too, and I did this because I wasn't going to preach to you. But I'd like to impress this upon you that whatever spirit that your spirit becomes interwoven with in your lifetime, that's what you are. And when you're born into this world, your spirit is not interwoven with anything, either good or bad. But you are born and shapen in iniquity as to the outer man, but you still have hope because you've never come to the knowledge of wrong, and where there's no knowledge of sin, sin is not imputed. But when you come to the knowledge, as these church ages, as the world has been, as not being cold anymore. Cold means you don't know nothing about God. I've heard people so many times, they say, Brother Pike, I'm just cold. I'm not going to serve God. No, you're not cold. You're foolish is what it is. You cannot be cold once you come to the knowledge of God. You are in between. You are in a lukewarm condition. And if you're not hot as to be fervent in the Spirit, then that means you're not with God. So then you are in between if you're religious. And if you come to the knowledge as the world has come to the knowledge, after that there's no more remission of sin. Because once you come to the knowledge of sin, to know good and not do it, it is a judgment. And if I know the good and I won't go the way of the good, my soul is sinning and it dies. And then there's no remission for sin. And the world has come to that place to know, and they will not do. Therefore, there's no more need for the blood to be on the seat of atonement after that. And there's no more mercy for God, from God, after that. And that's where the world has come to. They've turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. Trampled the blood of Jesus under their feet as an unholy thing, and they've crucified Christ afresh. After knowing his crucifixion was for them, they have now come to the knowledge of right and wrong, and they would not do it. So then that brings the end of the world. Let me say this, and we're going to sing a little chorus and let you go. So then, we have had grace because we didn't know. Now that you know, the worm is in the heart of the apple. Because once you come to know, Satan enters into your spirit and you become his possession then. Or if you come to know and you honor the Lord as to repentance, Christ comes into your spirit. And then you are an eternal God after that and can never perish. So then that means that the worm is in the apple. It's not a bruise anymore. It can't be cut off and the apple preserved. The worm goes into the apple, or Satan goes into your spirit or into your heart. And that means that there's no hope for you, because God's spirit cannot fellowship your spirit, and that God is a spirit and the Father's spirit. And the temple that Satan defiles, it must be destroyed. And when he comes into your spirit, your temple is thus defiled, because that is a willing submission as to the thing that you've accepted on your own because you know better. And there is no sacrifice for that kind of sin, nor blood atonement. So you become the image of the devil. That means that where you are going, you already are. You're one with him. And just as quick as you move out of the little tabernacle, then you don't have any more blood on the seat of atonement as to grace. Only while you're in that little tabernacle as a spirit, angelic being, abiding there. Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, as long as you're there, you're going to be charged with whatever you do, good or bad, be rewarded accordingly as to good or bad, as to the deeds done in the body. And at death, the spirit goes back to God who gave it. So that means that whatever you are as a person thinketh, so they'll do. A child does according to his thinkings, and the child is known according to his doing. So that's what you are, and that's your practice in life. So then, as to the love of the world within you, as to the desire of the natural things, as carnality, then you are dead. Because God's spirit is not there. It hath no desire for those things. They're vanities. All is vanity, Solomon said. But Satan, who is within you, he loves the things of the world. And because of that, you practice the things in your body, as to lasciviousness and the gullible desires of passions and hunger and thirst for the materialistic values of education and whatever it might be. So that means that Satan, as to the worm, as we call it, in the heart of the apple, or as the Bible calls it, the worm, because if it's given to Satan, it is the body of the generation of vipers, as the old snake. If it is given as to the body, as to the life, then that means that you have defiled the body, and it is time for the blood to come off the seat of atonement, and you cannot even be illuminated again because you're no longer ignorant. And we could say many, many things about that mystery. Just dropping those thoughts in, Satan, having climbed up into the upper lintel, that is in the presence of the Shekinah grace, by coming into you, that allowed him to get in there. Let's sing a little chorus together. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Precious Savior. Sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild sea no more. Oh, the tempest that may sweep about over the wild stormy deep, yet in Jesus I am safe evermore. I need I need thee every hour. I need thee. I need thee now, precious Savior. Just to plead your cause on that eternal day, let us listen to Jesus and hear his loving voice. I think most all of us will agree that the end of the world is here. Peter said, the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. And then John said, the time is at hand. And then Peter spoke of the time as to the flood the flood came and took them all away because it was the end of the world. So, again, as I say, to know what the end of the world is, you have to understand. And so many lovely things that we would say, or I feel the Lord would say, well, I would just worship the Lord for just a few minutes. The thing is, we sing that little chorus, are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you really ready? Someone asked me not too long ago, and occasionally they'll ask a question like this, who then, Brother Pike, will go in the rapture? Or as to the translation, we've told you before, there's no such thing as a rapture. But as to the translation or as to the change, who then will go? Will it be them that know this great revelation, which is so exceedingly wonderful? Yes and no. When a little one is born into the world, does he know life? Of course he does, unless it's a stillbirth. He knows life. Then he's got a revelation. His eyes has come open, the scales are gone. So then you do have to come into this revelation. But then the question arises, do you have to know the greatness of the revelation. No, in this sense, you do as to knowing it is great, but as to this sense, you do not, that you are a babe, and you desire the sincere milk of the Word. But at the same time, it is also thoroughly understood that you haven't grown up into manhood, and that the meat belongs to the strong, they who have by reasoning exercise their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. Which means that you suffer loss in the sense that you are not developed into manhood. And the Bible speaks of 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, going on to a full reward, going on to the full measure, the full stature. As when you pass from this stage of life into the other, will you then have the benefits of the greatness? You will, because we live in this world and we have the benefits of the billionaires and the millionaires and of the beautiful streets and buildings and restaurants and all of the things that they can afford. But do you own the billions? Do you own the restaurants? Do you own the wealth? Do you have as to the benefit of what their wealth can afford as to that of medical care? That of vacationing, are there many other things as to purchase, not except through the loan, as to the toll to pay back. And as in heaven, so in earth, you're going to strike a level, you're going to reach a place. You that have had plenty of time, you're going to be very sorry. As to babes in Christ, they'll have eternal life just like everybody else. They won't be sorry. Does a babe know anything other than his scooter and his wagon? They'll not know anything but as to what their level was, as to the rejoicing. But them that are older, that can look down on the babe, know that they are babes. As the world and the great scientific endeavors, they look upon us as babes. The Bible said this is revealed unto babes, such as are willing to learn, as to the world's definition of babes. Now, I said that to say this, to know the depths of Satan, to know the heights of God's glory. Or as Judas, to receive the greater damnation, better that he'd never been born. When I think about this, I think of what you're missing. And they that have turned many to righteousness shall shine as the brightness of the noonday. So as to the greatness of that which you're missing, what will I then miss? 24 kings sat around the throne. And what shall we receive? The apostles said, we give all. When I sit upon my throne, ye shall sit upon thrones, judging even as I judge. Some over 10 cities, some over 5 cities. Kings that will come from the earth among the people, as to which you know, as to the mind of Christ, as to which you are in your education as of the world, so as you're excelling. And the man with the education soon gets the money because he weasels it out of the hands of the billionaires and whatever as his cunning ability to law whatever. Or he gets control of it. As in heaven, it's not that way as to weaseling anything out, but it's that way as to the type when it comes to as to who hath and who doth not have as to kingship. For God hath made us unto our God, even Jesus, hath made us unto the great eternal spirit, our God. He hath made us kings and priests, that we should rule and reign with him forever. So, you that had rather, as we say so often as a little allegoric thing, rather be a dropout of school and not have very much knowledge and understanding and be a dope addict and just be one to run the streets, as it is said to those that would rather have their little old makeshift car and a few dollars and dope up, then that's what it's all about. But they that went on to be professional, as in their learning and understanding, then they hold the offices of integrity as to respect to the people, and they are the ones that are in demand and in control. So as to whatever you've tried to have and whatever you've tried to learn and whatever you've tried to understand, it ain't how much you shouted. It ain't how pretty you thought you was as ladies as to your frocks, and how polished and it ain't how handsome you thought yourself was as a man, as to bodily physique, and it's not how much you knew as to the world, as to glamour, money and prestige, offices and whatever, but it's what you have as to the measure of the mind of Christ, even his spirit, so ye are as a membership in his body as to eternity. When that time comes, and it's moving in on us fast. That's why I've chided with you a lot of times not to go hunting and fishing, not to go reveling and buying and riding, not to just say I've got God, as Jesus warned them, John warned them. See, even John said, don't say that you have Abraham under your father. God is able to raise up of the stones children to Abraham. See, and going and just being in and out and up and down and just half-hearted and didn't care and not applying yourself and trying to get everything you could with the world as to one hand and seeing that you're a Christian and trying to hold on with a religious thing as to the other. Getting a lot of doctrine as to quotes and whatever you might call them means nothing. Being able to memorize the Bible don't mean nothing. Having a photostatic mind is to quote the Bible ain't worth the time that you took to do it. It's just more judgment against you. But as to understanding, to get wisdom, to get understanding, Solomon said that's where it's at. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. For there'll come a time when wisdom will mock at your calamities. Right now wisdom stands at the gate and beckons unto the simple saying, turn in here and I'll make you to understand. But you'd rather have the satisfaction of your human senses as to the child of bondage in your intellectual confinements as to the beggarly elements of the world, and that if you make a comparison to heavenly things, they're nothing but junk, and you become a junkie. So then, as to your thoughts, as to human reasoning and jealousy and fault-finding, you are a junkie. But as to the mind of God, you are a great prince or a princess before God, or you are a great king, a great leader, a great ruler, a great eternal one with power and magnificence and glory that will outshine the brightness of the noonday. All right, it's just a few little thoughts we thought we'd drop in there not to keep you in any longer. Can we sing another chorus or two? Coming down, 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 coming down. All the glory of the Lord is coming down. For when the saints began to pray to let the good Lord have his way, then the glory of the Lord is... Can you sing it with me? It's coming down, 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 coming down, down, down. All the glory of the Lord is coming down. For when the saints began to pray to let the good Lord have his way, then the glory of the Lord is... One more time. Coming down, 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 coming down, down, down. All the glory of the Lord is coming down. When the saints began to pray to let the good Lord have his way, then the glory of the Lord is coming down. And I really appreciate you. I appreciate our people coming over from Tennessee. It's good to have them with us. They're becoming part of our family. Ah, Bethlehem, the home of the soul. World evangelism is our thrust. Appreciate Brother Taylor. One thing that makes me to know that Brother Taylor's a good man is he stayed with us all these years and stood by it. He and his wife, Linda. Very good people. And God rewards. There's reward in all labor. Glad to have our black visitor here. I'm not sure who he is. He might have been with us before. Do you know him, Junior? Gretch Jones. Okay. Glad to have you, Gretch. Let's give these folks a hand. Welcome to Little Bethlehem. Can we sing another chorus or two? If I overlook you, forgive me. I believe I noticed back here the young fella that's maybe engaged to Brother Tommy Clark's daughter. I sure hope I got that right. I don't like them. Would you raise your head if I got that? Okay, that's great. Let's give these folks a hand. Thank you. All right. Let's sing together, folks. You're my children in the Lord, and I love you. And I know you love me, or you wouldn't try to stand by me. And I pray for you all the time to the best of my ability. Paul said that we should do that. And then the writer said, or the prophet said, God forbid that we should sin against God by not praying for the people. Being a royal priesthood, making intercession that God should grant repentance unto them that are without, because ye are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular standing in Christ's stead as ambassadors from heaven. You're not of this world, and you are beseeching God as to get him to give mercy, and beseeching the lost soul as to repentance before God. And as Jesus said, you're not of this world, even as I'm not of this world, because he said, as to those others, you are of this world. From the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. But he said, as unto you and I, if we be of the world will love us. But he said, I'm not of the world. So we're members of his body in particular. I come from heaven. He said, I go back to heaven. Them came from the dust. They go back to the dust. Folks, where did you come from? Let's give the Lord another hand. All right. So then, if you come from heaven, then you're going back to heaven. If you didn't come from heaven, you're not going back to heaven. Sound like some of you come from heaven. All right, let's sing another little chorus together, can we? Give me a key, Frank. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Be it morning, noon, or night, we're all resting upon this wine, and we're ready for the bride. Can you sing that with me? Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Be it morning, noon, or night, we're all resting upon this wine, and we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Better get ready for the bridegroom to come. Better get ready for the bridegroom to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in spotless white, and we're ready for the bridegroom. One more time. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Be it morning, noon, or night, we're all resting by the sun, and we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Somebody say hallelujah. Let's sing that song that we sing quite often as of late. My soul cries out, oh Lord, how long, till my toiling ends, and you call me home. Since I caught a glimpse of my home in the sky, nothing in this world keeps me satisfied. Is that the light of home I see? Do I feel a breeze from the crystal sea? With the Lord standing high, heaven's balcony, it's the lights of home to me. Seems I can hear all the angels sing with harps of gold and a thousand. Earth holds no charm since I heard their song. So sweet Beulah land, my home, sweet home. That the lives of all my sea do I feel a breeze from the crystal sea. The Lord standing high, heaven's balcony, it's the lights of home, a welcome sight to me. One more time. Seems I can hear all the angels sing with harps of gold. Land a thousand streams holds no charm since I heard their song. Sweet Beulah land, my home, sweet home. One more time. Is that the lights of home I see? Do I feel a breeze from the crystal sea? With the Lord standing high, oh heaven's balcony, it's the lights of home, a welcome sight. One more time together now. Is that the light? Do I feel the breeze from the crystal sea? With the Lord standing high, oh heaven's balcony, it's the light that's of home, a welcome sight to me. Let's give him another hand. Somebody say hallelujah. You know, just before that serpent struck that bear, I had my people on the mantle. I believe you're on the mantle tonight. Hallelujah. Elijah threw the mantle back to Elisha. If you're on the mantle now, give it to Elisha and away we'll go. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus together, can we? Lift up your hands with me. Let's close our eyes and sing it together. Give me another key, friend. I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And I'll and we will praise him. I'm going to ask Brother Richard the Jew once again to come up and dismiss us tonight. Brother Richard really wants to go to the Holy Land. Sing that with me now.